Dr. Charlene Chen.
Question 9.
Mr. Speaker, my answer for question 9 in today's order paper will also address a related question filed by Dr. Charlene Chen for a subsequent sitting. Path marking and signs are used to demarcate cycling paths, shared paths, and pedestrians-only paths, or POPs. Dedicated cycling paths are distinctly coated in red with width of 2 meters, sufficient for 2 cyclists to pass. Where space is a constraint, shared paths are used. This allows both cyclists and pedestrians to share the path, typically at a width of 2.5 meters. Clear logos and wordings guide users at areas of potential interaction between pedestrians and cyclists, and to signal transitions between POP and shared paths. To enhance pedestrian safety, LTA works with relevant agencies to implement additional safety measures such as installation of convex mirrors at locations with line of sight issues, additional lighting, and trimming of overgrown hedges that narrow the paths. LTA conducts education campaigns and community engagement programs regularly to promote gracious path sharing and safe behavior. Since August 2024, LTA's active mobility enforcement officers have been on the ground to educate users on the safe use of the segregated paths ahead of the commencement of the POP rule on 1st July 2025. Enforcement officers conduct regular patrols to ensure adherence to the path segregation of cycling paths and POP. LTA conducts small checks at hotspots with frequent instances of errant riding behavior based on feedback received. Warnings and subsequently fines are given to those who intentionally disobey the rule, especially those who endanger others with errant riding behavior.
Dr. Chen.
I thank the MOS for its response. I have 3 supplementary questions pertaining to enforcement. Number one, how is the Ministry working with enforcement officers to ensure consistent and proportionate enforcement of cycling and pedestrian path rules, including when to issue warnings versus fines? And what do you think of licensing cyclists and their vehicles? My second question is about recourse. When pedestrians are injured by cyclists or PMD riders on footpaths or even overhead bridges, what processes are in place to ensure victims receive prompt support and recourse, and whether the Ministry is reviewing ways to strengthen this safety net? And the last question is on engagement, whether the Ministry is actively engaged on things like path design, safety hotspots and enforcement, and whether it has plans to expand public education campaigns to emphasise shared responsibility. Thank you.
MOSP.
In the enforcement officers will do their best to ensure that there is a consistent approach to look out for errant behaviour and to mete out the necessary penalties or advisories. So in the case of POPs, relatively new since July 2025, so the rule is that cyclists or riders are not supposed to go on POPs. But if there are instances, for example, where the cyclist or rider needs to temporarily overtake a slower-moving cyclist on the cycling path and then venture, you know, for that instance, on the POP, that will not be counted as an offence because it's understandable as long as he does it in a safe manner to look out for other users of the POP. But when it is obvious that the cyclist or rider is blatantly riding on POPs, then without, you know, safe regard for other users of overextended distances, then that definitely will be an offence and the enforcement officers will issue fines. In fact, since 1st July 2025, about 5 fines have been issued for such errant riders. On the recourse when accidents happen under the Active Mobility Act, when accidents happen, the cyclist or rider are supposed to stop and render assistance. And then in cases where the riders are performing work-related rides, like doing delivery, they are also required to have third-party liability insurance, so that would also cater for any claims for injury. On licensing riders or cyclists and vehicles, bicycles, too many years ago, Singapore does require registration of bicycles, but it has become a very laborious exercise because bicycles are passed down within, you know, families from people to people, and it becomes a very administrative hassle to have to update, not only for the authority, but for owners of bicycles. And we also take reference from practices and learnings from other countries in the world. Therefore, we have stopped that. It's also not easy to license riders because riders span a spectrum of different ages, from very young to the very old. So we focus on educational campaigns and rules for riding behavior. So that is more sustainable, and we will keep on promoting that to ensure a safe riding landscape for Singaporeans. You have a last question about is it getting feedback on the ground? Yes, we continue to do that, about how better to design our paths, our cycling infrastructure. So we will continue our engagements with advisors and grassroots leaders and other community groups. In terms of education programs, we look at schools, community groups, and we also do regular engagements with delivery platforms to ensure that the riders are up to date with the rules and also exercise due consideration when they ride. Thank you.